Time now for the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We'll invite your phone calls after the top of the hour news. That number to call, if you want to jot it down now, is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue, and we'll put you on as soon as we complete the thought that we're on. Single guest this morning here, County Commissioner John West has joined us here. A little out of sequence, John. Normally we have all the commissioners in a week from today on the fourth Tuesday of the month. This has always been kind of a situation for county staff to come in and county staff on vacation. What's going on here? Why do we have I hate to phrase it this way, but just John this morning?
Well, it's, you know, we do have some managers on vacation, you know, their last effort before school starts. And there was just some that had other things going on in their departments, and they weren't able to break away. And so I was just asked if I would step in and help out and take some of this time. And I said I was more than welcome to do it. I appreciate you allowing me to be here. So, yeah.
All right. Well, what's on your desk this morning? What are the citizens talking to you about right now?
Well, you know, part of the scuttlebutt going on is, you know, we just finished the fair.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it was, you know, everybody I talked to said it was a great time. The heat was a little much right there towards the end. The livestock auction was fabulous. I haven't heard the exact numbers yet, but I hear that it might be better than last year's. And, you know, this is about the kids. And so, you know, it sounds like they did really well. And so, you know, it's great. The fair, it brings out the families. And, you know, there was a lot of people had family in town, mm-hmm. you know, trying to get through before school. And so I've heard nothing but positive.
Let me jump in here just one quick second. If we have anybody out there from the Active Club who might have those numbers, if they could give us a call after the top of the hour, we'd be happy to put that number out, the total auction total. Forgive me for interrupting, but now please continue.
No, I'm amazed. Not amazed. I realize we have a great community here, and our community comes out, our businesses come out and support those kids and their pigs and their sheep and their cows and everything. It's a wonderful time. Those kids work hard. They work hard for that whole time, bringing that animal up and all they do. And so it's just the community support that's fabulous. And I've heard great things about our concerts. You know, Tamara Martin, our fairgrounds director and parks director, she just does a wonderful job. We just have a great staff over there. And so,
have you gotten a final report from Tamara yet on fair attendance or how everything came out, the bottom line?
No, I was told it might take a day or two, and so I don't want to be that guy that's calling 24 hours afterwards. Hey,
yeah, on Monday, I bet they all wanted to put their feet up. It was a long week for them. I know that.
Yeah. So I'm trying not to. Yeah, I'm curious, and I feel confident it's going to be as good, if not better, than last year.
So. All right. Any plans ahead for the fairgrounds? And it's self-supporting right now, as I understand it, taking no funds from the general fund budget?
Yeah, no, it's self-supporting and hopefully we listed the Flying Lark, mm-hmm. with a national realtor, and now listing it nationally. Their realtor's actually, I think, out of Portland, but it's on the market now. And so, you know, that's going to be a boost in revenue for the fairgrounds for a long, long time.
All right. Well, we're eagerly anticipating that. We were kind of under the impression there was other negotiations going on behind the scenes, and did those not develop? Is that the reason why we went with a national realtor?
Well, they're still happening, but they're not happening in the magnitude that we need them to. So, you know, we need to forge ahead.
But once it's listed, they can't forego that agreement with a realtor, can they?
We exclude those people.
Oh, okay.
The whoever we've been in contact with, we exclude them.
I see.
Yeah,
I see.
And so it's only the new potential people. So
okay. Anything on the horizon that we can eagerly anticipate? I know that some of this is very confidential, but what can you tell us?
You know, we just agreed to the listing last week, and it's going to be interesting now that it gets outside of, you know, a couple of counties here. It's going to be interesting to see what other people from other states that looks at it. And so I don't really know if I have something to put out there because it's new and I'm waiting to see the response we get after, 30 days.
Right. You did say that you're anticipating it would be a significant revenue stream for the fairgrounds. Would all the money derived from the Flying Lark go into the fairgrounds? Is that by statute, or what's that situation?
Well, any of the property that's considered fairground property, donated for the fairgrounds, that revenue is set by statute that it stays there. So, so that's the way it's worked out. My goal, and I think the goal of, the commissioners is if we are to go ahead and sell it, hopefully the interest rates are really good right now. And, the interest that we could, get off of there would, more than help the fairgrounds tremendously and push out stable funding for them for years to come. I mean, I get a lot of response. People ask me, well, can you funnel the money to the sheriff? And that's not the way it works. It's already set out in statute where the money has to go and how it has to be done. And that's a good thing. I don't think the citizens would want us to sell assets and totally give it all them funds to the sheriff. And then, for whatever reason, when those other departments need funding, where do we get it?
Were any stipulations laid out as to what could go into the Flying Lark in terms of restaurant, in terms of a meeting hall, in terms of a destination location facility, anything laid out?
We didn't set necessarily a stipulation. We want to make sure that it meets the goals in the master plan of the fairgrounds. We're hoping to see a restaurant, meeting rooms, all that. And we'd like to see a motel there.
I see. All right. Well, is there a goal? Well, you outlined some goals there are parameters for going into the fairgrounds. What are those?
Say that again.
You said there were some parameters that you for the fairgrounds that it has to meet.
So, well, we look at the fairgrounds board's master plan.
The master plan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The master plan that they have for the fairgrounds, thinking out 5, 10, 20 years. And we want whatever goes in there, we want that to work with the master plan and work with the fairgrounds. We're not looking for a Lowe's Home Improvement Center to be in the Lark, it's a type thing. That doesn't necessarily match up with the fairgrounds.
But a hotel would?
Well, a hotel would bring lodging for the fair.
Mm-hmm.
It would bring lodging the ball fields, the soccer fields you got there, so they could have the soccer tournaments. And, so it matches better with most things, because if you think about it, there's really no lodging on that side of the river. I don't think there's any motels over there or hotels.
None pop into mind right now. There may be some VRBs out there, but at any rate, certainly not any motels on that side of the river that I know of. At any rate, looking ahead, you mentioned the sheriff, and we're going to be talking a lot about the sheriff here very, very soon as we get closer and closer to Election Day. What is the status right now? What are you hearing from Sheriff Daniel?
The citizens, he had a citizen committee, the sheriff, put together the 99-cent, taxing district. And, we moved it forward. The Board of Commissioners moved it forward to the ballot to allow the citizens, to look at it and decide what they think. I hear a lot of positive out there. The sheriff feels more positive now than he ever has. The citizens like it better that, that citizens come up with this versus government. So,
all right. So citizens came up with this 99 cents per $1,000 of assessed evaluation, not for city residents, but for county residents, including Cave Junction. Do I have that correct?
Yes. Yes. And that right now that's supposed to cover 20 deputies, 6.5 of dispatch, and 1.5 of evidence people. So it's 27.5 people, and that money can only go for those. It can't be divvied out throughout the sheriff's office. So
would that give us 24-hour patrol 7 days a week?
16-hour
days.
Yep.
All right. And we're not saying what hours.
No.
I think that varies, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So, you know, it's the commissioner's job now. The commissioners need to figure out, you know, where can we create more funding? If we get more grants like we've had in the past, you know, that's going to help out. Is there any more, potential cuts anywhere, money savings, you know, so we'll continue going down that avenue, and see what we can, fund over to help create that, maybe go from 16 up more. So,
all right, we'll see. We'll keep an eye on you, John, and to all of you, stay tuned. We'll have more. Have to pay some bills right now. You understand that. Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress. Our guest today, County Commissioner, is John West. John, once again, thank you for filling in this morning. We do appreciate your presence here. And we were talking about the sheriff's office and the funding and what it would take to get to even more than 16 hours a day of patrol. And we mentioned grants. And I know that you're busy, and I know that all of the your staff is busy, and I know the sheriff is busy. We keep seeing the constant marijuana bust that we've been seeing in the last several weeks here, getting close to harvest season out there, I guess. So we'll get them before they put it on the market. So do we have someone out there just looking for grants for this situation right now? Do we have a grant writer out there constantly looking for opportunities to fund county government?
Well, in our finance department, we have a grant division there, and so we're always looking for that. And so we're always watching the law enforcement end of it. And then sometimes we just get surprised. We get a notice that, hey, you know, there's some money available, or it's coming your way that we don't expect, you know, and so we're always watching for that at 24/7. So, you know, we have the 2.8 million left of the money, that's going to help next year. And then after that, that's gone unless something happens. We've lived off of some of that for a long time. And so it's time we got to get self-supportive or we're headed down a bad road.
Oh, okay. This 2.8 million, is that what you said?
Yeah.
2.8 million left over. And that's funding for the sheriff's department. Did I understand that correctly? That'll get him through next year?
That helps get him through, yeah, into 24.
And the 99 cents per thousand, that will take effect in the fiscal year 24?
Yes.
All right. So that'll start next June. Or when will I start paying it?
let's see. Boy. Boy, as soon as I give a date, it's going to be wrong, and that's going to haunt me. I believe it'll be for your 24
tax bill.
Taxes. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense at this point.
Yeah.
And I say I pay for it, but I'm not directly paying for it, although I am a taxpayer. At any rate, are we looking? Do we have contacts in the state government right now that helps keep you abreast of what's going on up there? Do you have a tap on the legislature and what's going on with the governor and any monies coming back from the state?
Well, you know, we have contacts with our state rep and our senator. And so, you know, things are quiet up there right now, you know, and stuff. And so, it's not great. Money's going to dry up more than it's going to, you know, just be doled out. I think the state's gonna see some financial troubles here in the near future, and none of us have a press like the federal government. So,
no, that's true. That's true. We're talking state right now, but many times it seems when we're talking state government that Josephine County seems to be a poor stepchild. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that's fair. It seems like the further you get away from Salem, it's just the less they actually seems like they care. Yeah, that's what it seems like to me. So, you know, it's just a tough road. You know, you look at the hundreds of millions of dollars they got going out to remove dams and to put into all the homeless projects that aren't being successful. And then here we are with law enforcement across Oregon. And we're not the only county that has issues with, you know, funding law enforcement. But you would think that, you know, safety would benefit the homeless just as much as anything else. But, you know, they just missed the mark there. So,
all right. Even the state police numbers are down, from what I understand. I haven't seen numbers recently, but I know in the last year or so that they have lost boots on the ground.
Well, if you think about it, are you encouraging people, young people, you know, to get into law enforcement? You see funding issue, state police, funding issue, county, you know, and you just see all that goes on. And, you know, you listen to them in Portland, you know, they're talking about, you know, one time they talked about, well, you know, we may have some of our officers not carry guns. That doesn't seem like a very good idea, you know, and so we have great law enforcement. You know, it's like anything, you're going to get a bad, somebody that maybe shouldn't have been in the division here or there, but for the most part, our law, you know, they put their lives on the line every day. And so, you know, it's a tough thing.
By and large, we're probably pretty lucky here in this county, both in the city and the county, in terms of law enforcement, the people that we do have on staff right now, because as I understand it and what I've seen, and I see the police reports daily, we have a stellar staff. They're just shorthanded right now. And what appears to be the situation is, and it takes a very special mindset to be a police officer, and there are screening that goes into becoming a police officer and going through the academy and making it through so that you have the right attitude when you come out. But we train them, put them on staff, and within a year, a lot of them go away to other high-paying positions. So we're kind of like the AAA team for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's been the challenge for the sheriff. You know, he gets those folks out of the academy, and he gets them going, and they're stellar deputies. And, you know, then somebody's out there after him. You know, they watch, they see, you know, that. And so, you know, he can seek $800,000 into a deputy or two or three or whatever. And then all of a sudden, bam, somebody says, hey, you know, I got better benefits, better money over here, you know, and everybody knows we're small. We can only pay so much, you know, and so it's tough.
Right. All that being said, with the sheriff's levy coming up in, taxing district coming up in November, and we talked about state money and local money, is there any money coming out of the federal government to assist with marijuana enforcement, with immigration, any dollars coming down that can assist Josephine County at all? Or do we have any input from any of our federal congressional people?
So, this, you know, all of our marijuana money has come down from the state that I know of. The federal, you know, they've sent us some federal law enforcement to help out. It's my understanding, but they're not kicking us a bunch of money. I mean, if they would, it would really help out. It's been the state that's helped that. And it's my understanding there's a chance that funding's going to end at the end of 25. And so I hope they renew it. I don't think the sheriff's done a wonderful job. The IMET team, is just done fabulous. But we need to keep that going. And I think the state, I'm going to bank the state's going to keep that going because they see the results and they know that it got out of control and this is, you know, it's going to take some time to get it back under control.
With all of the bust of the illegal marijuana grows that we've seen, there is always a phrase in there that they have water and solid waste violations, which could put the property in jeopardy. They could lose that property, and we'd come into, for the most part, the county's ownership. And we've been doing this for a couple of years now. How much land do we have out there right now that is in that situation, and it can be sold and the money put back into the county coffers? Do we have a number there?
You know, we have multiple properties that we've seized from that. And we have, some in the hopper that we're waiting to see, you know, if they're going to do the cleanup, if they're going to, pay the debt, or if we're going to end up taking those properties. And so, you know, some of them have good value. Some of them aren't as good. And there's just, you know, it's, the problem is some of the cleanup work is expensive. And so by the time you pay to have all that cleanup work, and then say you pay $80,000 to clean some place up, but it's only got a value of $100,000, there's not,
not a great return, is there?
It's not, you know. And so, but you know, at the same time, we can't sell the property uncleaned up. We got to get the hazards off of it. It's, you know, so we've got to do our part. And so, you know, we get our money back, but we're not making no huge amount of money.
All right. By and large, how long does it take to take that from seizure to closure to sell? Is it a month? Is it a year? Is it 2 years?
I'm going to say it's normally probably 3 to 4 months and longer. And it's just because some of them that has to go through the courts, it may be a year before it goes through the courts. So we can't do anything with it. So we have to wait through some of them go through the courts, and some of them we have to wait through it goes through a time period, redemption period, and all this. So
it could be multiple years before you could put those things on the market and recoup the money.
Yes.
And in the meantime, with 8% inflation, ow.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I can see where it would be tough to make any money on that. It doesn't look like a solid revenue stream of potential for the county right now. We've got more to talk about here when we continue. Lots coming up. John, anything in particular we should talk about after the news coming up?
Well, I'd like to talk about that, our new ordinance that's going to help us on the Measure 110 that got passed. So.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll be eagerly anticipating that. To all of you, we want you to stay tuned. We've got news coming up in a moment or two right here on KAJO Radio from the Salem Radio Network. And we're all tuned to hear what new indictments are coming down, what the count is in Lahaina, Hawaii, which is a tragedy over there. All that news coming up right here on this radio station. You're listening to KAJO AM 1270, 99.7 on the FM band and on the World Wide Web at KAJO.com. Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. The number to call this morning, if you have a question or comment for our guest, is 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means you're next in queue, and we'll put you on the air live and let you pose your question to our guest today. That's Commissioner John West. We've got him on the hot seat today. All right. Commissioner, we were talking, Measure 110, you mentioned just before we went into the news. Can you explain to me what's going on and what changes might be in effect here?
So we're legal counsel is drafting, and we're got it pretty close to be done to start our readings and our public hearings. And the ordinance is going to, in a sense, kind of make us dry county when it comes to those drugs of 110. So we're going to be able to, as a home rule county, we're going to be able to enforce that. And we're going to add it to our alcohol ordinance that we already have in place. So anything on public ground, public right-of-ways, public parks, none of those substances will be allowed. And we have a mechanism in place for the first, you know, if you get caught the first time and then a second time, and something actually enforceable. And so we're hoping that we can send a message. I know Jackson County commissioners are doing a letter, sending it up, I believe, to Salem, you know, wanting it to go away. We're going to take it a step farther. We're not just going to send a letter up there that maybe they won't read or won't pay attention to. We're going to actually take the matters in our own hands and try to eliminate some of this that's coming from 110.
All right. Now, Measure 110 essentially decriminalized the possession of drugs. We're talking heroin, methamphetamine, speed, even fentanyl, if you have it in a personal use quantity.
Yeah.
So the most you can do is give them a traffic ticket, basically.
So
if this goes through, what will the ramifications be to those users?
Well, so this ordinance has nothing to do with private property. Mm-hmm. We're not taking away anyone's personal property rights. But when it comes to public ground, public parks, right-of-ways, I believe the first one is a trespass. And then the second one, it gets worse from there. But, because it's public property, we have the right to say no, not on public ground. What it does, it's going to force those people, you know, if you're going to, use any of those drugs, you're going to have to be on private property or, you know, and it's a deterrence. It's a big enough deterrence that we believe that it's going to push a bunch of those folks and say, well, you know, I want to leave the county. I'll go to another county that doesn't have this.
Now, this effective in the county includes the city and city parks. Is that right?
So right now, I believe Cave Junction is signing in on this because they're an incorporated city. The city of Grants Pass can sign in on this ordinance. And so I think they're waiting to see the final details to decide whether or not, they want to sign on to it. They have their choice.
When will we see final details? How soon?
I'm going to say in the next couple of weeks. We're really close. And so, within the next couple of weeks, we should be starting probably the hearings on it, the public hearings. So.
All right. How did we come about with, this idea that we could do something like this that, gives law enforcement a little more arrow in their quiver?
Well, so I actually seen something online of another county up north and to the east. And so I brought that over to legal counsel and said, hey, what can we do? And so legal counsel started looking at it, and then so I brought it to the two commissioners and said, hey, you know, what do you guys think about doing this? And they were all for it, you know, said, you know, let's see what legal says. And legal's been looking at it every avenue, trying to make sure it's foolproof. And so we've decided, you know, it's time we got to do something. We can't just sit back because Salem doesn't care. And so it's time we make a move.
All right. You said another county in the state has done. Have they implemented these rules yet or similar rules?
They were looking at something similar to this, and I can't remember the county. They were actually, I believe, in the beginning stages. And so when we seen this, we read everything that they had. And so we decided, well, let's tag on to the same idea that they've got. And, I'm guessing, this would be my guess, that, other counties, when they see us move forward with this, they'll tag on and probably do the same thing. That would be my guess.
So this would give law enforcement an extra arrow in their quiver, for my terminology here, an extra tool to use to combat not only, drug use, but the homeless, segment that is less desirable. Because I know some of the homeless out there are good people. They're just, quote, unhoused.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not, this isn't necessarily, I would not say this is targeting the homeless people. Anyone in that would be on public property, public right-of-ways, you know, your sidewalks, your parks, right-of-ways, any of the public property, they're not going to be able to do that.
I was going to say drug use is rampant in this county. Rampant might not be the right word, but it's certainly not unusual for anybody who has driven around at all to have experienced someone using illicit drugs.
Well, since 110, you know, I see pictures of more needles, syringes than I've ever seen in my life. since 110 has come about, it's actually opened the floodgates, you know, and for the state government to say, well, we would rather give out heroin in small amounts, and then we know it's safe heroin. I didn't know there was any of that safe. And so, usually when Salem comes up with an idea, you're better off running from it, because it's not a good idea.
So. All right. This is another topic that I'd like to get into sometime, and I'm not sure that you're the right person here, and that's not a dig, but how safe or unsafe is heroin? There's a question for you, and let somebody out there contemplate that, because in my past lives, as in other radio stations, I've dealt with people who were dealing with the methadone treatments, for heroin addicts. And heroin addicts, in fact, one of the psychologists said to me, the thing that makes heroin so dangerous is it's illegal. So let people contemplate that, and we'll see if we can't find an expert out there to expand on that sometime here on this radio station. But at any rate, do we have any idea how strong the penalties could be for violating 110 under this proposed ordinance? You said first one would be a citation. The second one would be a trespass or something like that. And then do we get into heavy money fines or go to jail or serve a sentence?
I believe the first one is a trespass with, I was thinking it was like a $450 fine or somewhere in there. And then I'm trying to remember it. I've read it, and I know we're trying to work through the, but we're getting close. And then the second one becomes harsher. The first one, it's not a big a penalty as the second one. And you know, we're working with the DA on this to make sure, you know, these are things that we're going to be able to, you know, so we're vetting this all the way through from the DA legal and all the way down. And so, you know, I think this could be a tool in the city's toolbox that could help them tremendously. You know, I know they have their own ordinances and stuff, but you know, in my opinion, what hurts having a second one, you know, gives you more tools in your toolbox. And, you know, and it kind of went along with the right of way stuff. The city opted out on the right of way. Apparently they think their ordinance is strong enough, but you know, we've already had the second reading on the right of way, and that's going to be a wonderful tool in our county to clean that up.
All right, is that in effect right now? I know it was passed. Was there a time limit for it to go into effect, or is it effective immediately?
No, it takes, I believe, 90 days.
90 days. And then we'll see some other action on some of the byways here in Josephine County.
Yes, sir.
All right. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Stay tuned. We have more coming. Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got County Commissioner John West on the hot seat today. If you have a question or comment for him, the number is 541-472-1270. And you may direct your question directly to Commissioner West today. As we continue, we've talked about a lot of things. We've talked about the Flying Lark. We've talked about 110. We've talked about what's going on with the Sheriff's Department and the 99-cent taxing district that is going to be on the ballot coming up in November. We talked briefly about county parks just in tangent with the fairgrounds, but Whitehorse Park has been a little controversy there, and we know that there's lots of work going on out there. Do you have an update for us on what's going on with Whitehorse Park?
I'll be honest with you. I haven't been able to put a lot of time into following it. I think Commissioner DeYoung is on that. Him or Commissioner Bairdsugar, they've been following it a little closer. I know for the most part, I've heard nothing but praise over our county parks, you know, all the work they've done to it, the staffing and everything. So I really don't have a good pulse on what's happening. Right.
Now, I know the county commissioners divide up areas of responsibility throughout the county, and each commissioner has areas that he is responsible for or directly is involved with. What are yours?
So I have public health. I have... Corrections. Boy.
Those two could keep you busy, I would imagine.
They keep me. They keep me very. Oh, I have emergency management, and we share a bunch of them. The commissioners share several of them together, but I have those three. I'm trying to think of what else I have. Right off the top of my head, those are my three that I deal with the most.
With emergency management right now, that comes top of the mind awareness. With the flat fire going on, and we see smoke here regularly, and with this intense heat wave that we're in the midst of, are you talking with them, or are they too busy, or are they all the plans are all in place?
So our emergency management team has been, they go over there, they've been over there several times to Gold Beach for briefings, and then they do a briefing online. And so they're watching it closely to make sure that if the fire was to pick up and cause it just come inside of Josephine County a little bit, but if it started for some reason, got outside of what they have planned and started heading this way, our team has plans ready to implement and how they're planning on going with that.
Have you been directly involved with that?
I've been in conversation. I haven't made a trip over just because the team has taken care of it, but they notify me. I get an update several times a week, and so far everything's good. We're dodged a bullet there. And so, you know, with the heat that's here now and the fire danger that we have and, you know, that we have some cooling centers opened up and so, the emergency management team is in place and, you know, they're already thinking about, okay, after fire season, we got winter coming up and we got this coming. So they got their hands full.
With that flat, quite frankly, the flat fire, is not one that I'm worried about right now. I think that management team out there has a pretty good handle on it. Last we heard, containment was up at 56%, and they've got the right personnel and all of the equipment they need to contain that one. What I'm more concerned about is should we get some lightning strikes today or another fire breakout closer, do we have those resources in place to protect the populace?
So I know the Forest Service is ramped up. They have initial attack teams with equipment stationed all through Josephine and Jackson County. I know, or I got from ODF. They have ramped up. They have dozers, water tenders, engines stationed throughout our county, and just same way with Jackson County. They ramped up for this time with red flag warnings of the high heat and the fire danger getting to the extreme as it's going to get. And so everybody is stationed. They have brought in the troops, and so I mean I believe that all departments, everybody is as ready as they're going to get, and we just hope that it goes by and we don't sustain any.
Everybody cross your fingers and put out your cigarettes.
Yeah. All right. Well, or try not to build that campfire barbecue in your backyard.
Right. No debris burning.
Yes.
No debris burning. Okay. That goes right along, and public health is probably yours too. And I know that with the smoke coming in, public health has probably been a little involved with that. Have we had any contact with public health in terms of impacts from the smoke? We've had one really smoky day that I recall.
Yeah, you know, public health, they have abundance of masks. You can call public health if you have an issue with that, and they have a certain amount of stuff that they, whether it's mask, breathing devices, or they can direct you to help you. And so, you know, they're on board, they're ready. And so I know that they're working with the public. A lot of times people don't see what they're doing, but they're there and they're getting a lot of stuff done. So
are they mentioning the word, and I'll whisper it here, COVID?
No.
I have a friend in the last 2 days was exposed to COVID.
Really?
Yes. Locally.
Oh, well, yesterday I got an alert on my phone from Rite Aid that said that we're heading for the flu season And if I wanted my flu shot, and they're also doing COVID-19 vaccines, and that's the first I had received anything like that. And so, you know, I heard a couple of weeks ago somebody said that they come down with COVID, but
it's certainly not at the level that it was.
No, yeah. And I don't believe, now this is just from what little bit I hear, I don't believe we find the casualties of people passing away from COVID that they had before.
So. No. Well, there are significant treatments now available. Just as a side note, I want you to know that we are still sanitizing this. Any time that we have guests coming into this studio, everything was wiped down and sprayed significantly by the person sitting here in this chair. And come to think about it, I'm almost surprised that we haven't done that for years, just out of courtesy when you share microphones. At any rate, we've got about 3 minutes left. John, what do the people need to know about the county commission right now and the commissioners and yourself?
Well, you know, the commissioners are working hard. We're trying to, you know, just like 110, we've had a lot of comments from the citizens. So we heard you. We're working diligently on helping to try to help that and fix that problem the best we can. We've got, you know, all kinds of things. We hear from the citizens all the time, but I really encourage the citizens to continue, you know, to reach out to us and come to our Wednesday business session at 9 o'clock and speak to the full board. You know, it really lets us hear people, and I encourage the emails and everything they say. You know, this is our only way. You know, we got 88,000 people here, so we need to, you know, hear from them and what's on their mind. So, you know, our county's a great county. It's just, you know, we need to continue to work together. I think the fair showed us, you know, just like with all the kids, and we're a great county, and it's just helping one another and encouraging more businesses to come and doing better with what we have.
All right, John, I want to thank you very much. If I need to get in contact with you or any of the other commissioners, is there a way to do that?
So you can go on our website, the county commissioner website, the county there, and you can email any of the commissioners or all of them at the same time. Just go on it's pretty simple, and I encourage everybody to go onto the county website and explore it and look at it and give us some feedback on what we could do to make it easier for them.
All right. County Commissioner John West, thank you very much today for showing up here, and we appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to having you back here. And everybody, make a programming note. We'll have John back here next Tuesday. Not alone here. We'll get the whole county commission sitting down and figuring out what exactly is going on in Josephine County. That's coming up next Tuesday, 9:30 to 10:30 on the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio.
If you're a veteran.